till the tears run down from my eyes. Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. Would you like to be a guest in the show? Send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, you can visit our website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited to get my buddy Jack Wang from Longhorn Financial with us. As always, guys, please remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes, should not be construed as financial advice. You should always seek out a qualified financial person before you make any decisions in life. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Always glad to be on.
So, Jack, it's kind of funny. It seems like it's always time to apply for college. But we are in that season, you know, juniors and seniors are looking. And today we just want to talk about some of the common questions about financial aid, okay?
All right, sounds great.
So, Jack, one of the things I hear all the time is people like, you know, hey, Kev, I make a ton of money. I'm never going to get any financial aid. Should they still fill out the FAFSA form?
Yeah, this is a very common question, and the answer is absolutely yes. The FAFSA, the financial aid form, is primarily used to determine what's called need-based aid. And need-based aid is what schools give out for, you know, what should be like low to middle-income people, whatever. However, here's the thing that people forget, is oftentimes, even if a family makes so much money that they don't qualify for need-based aid, but instead will get merit aid because the student has really good grades or, you know, test scores or whatever, okay, quite often schools will require a complete application package in order for that student to even qualify for the merit aid. So, and a complete application includes the admissions application, but also the financial aid form. So people say, well, but it's based on grades, so why should I – why do they need this? Well, you know, number one, if they say so, then you just have to. But number two, yeah, you know, you may qualify based on the merit basis, but the amount of money you get might be based on the information on the FAFSA. So but what I tell people is just get it done. It can't hurt, just get it done.
That's perfect sense to me. So now, the common question now, unfortunately, how about divorced parents? Who would fill out the form? Does it matter?
Yeah. So, like, this causes so much confusion. And so, you know, you go on the internet, you see these things like, well, the person makes less money, it's always the mom, it's always the dad, whatever. Actually, it has nothing to do with that. Regardless of income level or any other financial factors or whatever the divorce agreement says, it is the parent who the child lives primarily with during the year. So if the child lives primarily with the mother, okay, meaning more than half the year, then the mom fills it out. If the child lives primarily with the father, then the father fills it out. And that is regardless of the divorce agreement. So the divorce agreement could say, hey, mother gets kid 100% of the time, but the kid actually lives with the father more than 50% of the year, that still the father would be the one filling out. And again, it has nothing to do with who makes more, who makes less, who claims them on tax form, what the divorce agreement says, where does the kid live more than 50% of the time. That's the person filling it out.
So next question, CSS profile. First, tell us what it is and how do I know if I need to fill one out?
Yeah, CSS profile form is a second financial aid form that some schools, about 400 in the country, will need. It is a far more comprehensive financial aid form. So for these 400 schools, not only are you filling out the FAFSA, but you are also filling out the CSS profile. So Just to give an example, the schools locally that require it typically are the Ivies, your Harvard, MITs, but also your BCs, BUs, Holy Cross, WPI, Stonehill, St. Anselm's, things like that. So there are other schools that do require it. How do you know if you need to fill it out? Well, the school would let you know. It's on the school's website. And again, it's about 400 schools across the country. And just keep in mind that you do have to fill out the FAFSA and the profile form. It's not just one or the other. If the school requires it, you got to do both.
So now the question you must get all the time, Jack, is where should I put my money? How does it impact my financial aid? So let's talk about some of the common types of savings and investments and how they're treated on financial aid forms.
Yeah, this causes so much confusion. I'll probably say that a lot, right? The whole topic of college financial aid causes a lot of confusion. I'm just going to go through a couple of examples. So, for example, retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, 403bs, 457, those never count, okay? So whether you fill out the FAFSA or the FAFSA and CSS, those never count. Cash value of life insurance and annuities on the FAFSA do not count. On the profile form, the CSS form, they do not count unless they are specifically asked. So the one difference with the profile form is that schools that use it can ask additional questions about various things. And so one school I'm aware of in this area does ask about life insurance and annuities, so you would have to disclose, but a lot of other schools don't, so you would not. Equity in your house, in your primary home. Whether you have a $1 million home with no mortgage or whatever, on the FAFSA, never counts. Shows, it's a big fat zero. On the profile form, it does count. Usually up to a limit, depends on the school, but it does count. 529 plans. This is a huge source of confusion. It always counts as an asset. But parents will say, well, but I have two 529 plan accounts, right? One for Johnny, who's about to go to college, and one for Sally, who's much younger. Do I have to report both? The answer to that is yes, as long as they're owned by the parent. So if they're owned by the parent, it doesn't matter who the beneficiary is of those accounts. As long as you own it, you got to report it. Sibling assets. So in that example, Johnny's the high school senior. Anything in his bank account or investments would count and actually counts for more. Little sister Sally, anything in her name on the FAFSA would not count. So little sister Sally could have $1 million in her bank account, from work, from birthday money. That would not count on the FAFSA, but it actually would on the CSS profile. So, like I said, the CSS profile is a lot more comprehensive. They really want to get to know the family from a financial point of view also. So little sister Sally would actually have to report that. And then also grandparents or other extended family, you hear this a lot. Well, grandpa and grandma set up a 529 account for little Johnny and little Sally, but they own it. Would I have to report that? The answer to that always is no. However, grandma and grandpa then use the money for Sally, or Johnny, I should say, who's about to go to college. And let's say grandma and grandpa use the money to write a check to the college to pay tuition. Then that money actually counts as income, which actually counts far more than assets. So the balance, if grandma and grandpa just left it there, it would never count. But once they start using it, it actually could count. So these things are always very confusing, but it's an easy way to trip people up and do something that eliminates their aid eligibility because of all these different rules.
So now, Jack, one of the questions you must get all the time is, should the students borrow the money? Should the parents borrow the money? And if so, how much can a student borrow?
Yeah, students can borrow money themselves for college under the direct loan program. It's 55, and this is on them only, right? No cosigner, no income needed, no credit check. 5,500 for freshman year, 6,500 sophomore year, 7,500 junior year, and then 7,500 senior year. If you add those numbers up, it's 27,000. It's actually not that bad. Should they borrow? That's really up to the family. My personal opinion is that they should, just because the terms are really good, the rate, and plus also some of the inherent borrower protections in direct loans. But again, that's a family decision.
But now, Jack, that's really not a lot of money, unfortunately, in today's college world. So should a family use a federal or a private loan? Is there any advantages to using those?
Yeah, so the parent version of the student loan is called the PLUS loan. And again, in my opinion, I like the PLUS loan. The rate's higher, but it's competitive against private loans. The reason I like the PLUS loan and the federal loans is because they give you a multitude of repayment programs, so you can change it up how much you need to pay. You can do that all the time. Plus also is legal protections, like if you lose your job, you can apply for deferment. Unlike private loans, where if you lose your job and you call your bank, they may or may not work with you, right? But private loans also need underwriting, but the private loans do allow for things like, well, if parents don't want to take on the debt, they can co-sign and put it on the kid, and then a couple years, 3-4 years of repayment, on-time repayment plus other conditions, the parents can actually come off as co-signers. So there are advantages to both. My personal opinion, take advantage of the PLUS loan, but again, that's a family decision just based on circumstances.
So, Jack, often we come across people who this is the first person in their family to go to college, so they don't even really know the different ways that families can pay for college. Can we just recap some of those ways so people would know about them?
Yeah, so we talked about loans. There's also scholarships and grants from the colleges themselves, outside scholarships from like local foundations and companies and things like that. Always apply for those. And then even just about every college will also offer a payment plan, sort of make monthly payments. The key to remember is that paying for college doesn't necessarily mean having to come up with the money up front, right? You can, whether you come up with the money up front through savings or loans, you can also pay during, right, like a payment plan. Or parents can also pay after, right? So you could, in theory, put after your son or daughter graduates, simply just help make the payments, right? That's also paying for college. So just depending on circumstances, and sort of really it becomes a philosophical question of what you want to do. But there are a lot of different ways you can pay for college. You can get quite creative with this, depending on what the parents and the students are really trying to accomplish.
Jack, the most common question, how do I get more? How do I get more aid?
Yeah. Of course, need-based aid is calculated based on income and assets. There are strategies around that. But the biggest tip I probably give families, because it is so common for families to say, well, I don't know where I want to go. I don't really know what I want to study. The focus really is on finding the school that wants your student. I know that sounds weird, but right, students sell themselves to schools. Schools also sell themselves to students. And the more the school wants your student based on whatever factor, right, grades, test scores, male-female ratio, geography, if they really want your student, they will recruit your student using more money, using more scholarships. It's, think about it like athletic scholarships. Well, this is recruiting in an academic sense. So the more they want the student, the more money they give you, and that can really lower the cost of college. And also, by the way, if your son or daughter really loves the school, then they will love it and not transfer. It'll cost you less. But that really is the key, is to really put in the time to do a thorough search to find that school. And it may not be close to you, right? It could be across the country, but who knows? But put in the time for that.
Got about 40 seconds left. Let's grab your contact information before we let you go.
All right. People can also always reach me via email, jack@longhornfin.com, or they can go to my Facebook page for more information at facebook.com/longhornfin.
Jack, really appreciate you taking the time to call in. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thank you, Kevin.
Have a good day. Bye now.
All right. Yep.
We deliver tickets, T-shirts, and everything you need to rock. But what you really get is so much more.
FedEx, delivery.
Passion, what we deliver by delivering.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.